Hi, and welcome to another episode of Are We There Yet? A podcast about ADHD and success and the connection between them both. My name is Ross, and today we are interviewing the wonderful Shannon, or as she is better known on Twitter as D. Oh, no, wait, sorry. No, that's the other one. This is ADHD Designer. They are apparently different people. I still don't believe it. But anyway, hi, Shannon. How are you?
I am good. I'm good. How are you doing?
Fantabadozy. So, Shannon, you obviously are a designer, but do you want to tell us a bit more about what you do when you're not pretending to be D on Twitter?
Yeah. So I, as you said, I'm a designer. I run my own little design studio that is sometimes just me and sometimes me and a few other freelance designers. So I'm based in London and work with clients kind of all over doing things like branding, so that's logos and things like that, and then also designing websites and apps and kind of like digital product design. So that's kind of my wheelhouse. I worked in kind of like big agencies and agencies of around the world kind of for the last like 10 years before I went freelance in February of 2020. So that was really exciting timing.
It was a good time to decide to go out on your own.
Yeah, it was it made it more of a challenge than I ever anticipated, but it's worked out really well, I think. So yeah, that's what I do in a broad sense.
So see, with web design, because you've got, there's so many things out there to say, like, this is the idiot's guide to doing a website. But is it, was it something that you fell into, or was it something you, like, when you were younger and you could, you were good at with computers and things and went, you know what, I'm actually just going to start making like a website, or what, how did you get into it?
Yeah, I've always been into the internet. Like, my dad has, he worked in like computer engineering for a bit when I was younger, and we had like computers since I was, since I can remember, and we got the internet when I was, I think it was like 1994 or so. I was like,
wait,
I don't know, like 5 or 6.
Make that noise, like that.
Yeah, the amazing dial-up noise.
Had to shout around everyone, make sure everyone's off the phone.
Yes, oh my God. And you spend like 10 minutes downloading the JPEG and the line just moves down the page. So I've always
I reckon there's kids like watching Simpsons, because I remember like a Simpsons episode, and it's a comic book guy, and it's like a line at a time. I reckon there are people who don't believe that was a thing.
You're probably right. Like that you can't just access images instantly.
Your phone never used to have video.
No, my phone. I didn't have a phone until I was like 16, I think.
This is, we're now just going to go into a rabbit hole of how old are we? But
can you guess?
So one of my first phones was a Motorola with an Ariel that I could unscrew.
Oh.
And I used to unscrew it and whip my friends with it. That's how old my first phone was when I got it. You couldn't even store numbers in it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I remember, I think my first phone was a Motorola as well, but I remember being disappointed with it because I really, really wanted a Sony Ericsson. For some reason, I thought they were really cool. It was the same phone though, like really, just like the Sony Ericsson seems so cool.
I think Sonys were basically the ones when the cameras got good, with the Sony ones, I think was.
I don't think this one had a camera. I think it's.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're going. Oh.
I think it just like, I think it was like my friend had one and it was white and most phones were black. And it was like very like preteen reasons.
Fair enough. So did you go to like university for web design and things or?
Oh yeah. 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 Let me continue. Yeah. So I grew up with the internet. I was always like, I was making like web pages on GeoCities and Angel Fire and stuff like that. And then in high school, there was like one teacher who kind of started a bunch of like digital design and like photography type courses. So I ended up taking all of those and got really into it. I was like the head of the yearbook design committee and like, and then I ended up going to basically art school, like art university out of high school. I didn't necessarily know right away that I was gonna go into like what I do now, like design, because that school, it basically how it works is it's 4-year university. And the first year is it's like a foundation year where you do like everything. So it's at the university, like, so
I just mean like there's multiple subjects that you're doing until you decide.
I see what you mean. Yeah, so I took like painting, I took like printing, but then I also had to do like performance art, which I'm not going to
let's talk about the performance art. Let's
oh my god, there, I wish I like had some of it on film. I have like some amazing but I did also take design courses, and then I don't know, I think because I had done a bit of it in high school, and I think also because the way the university was set up, the design program was like you had to apply for it, you had to like be good enough for it, and I think I like just kind of like that challenge. So I think that might be like the only reason I'm a designer now, because I felt like I wanted to show how good I was, I guess, when I was like 18. I ended up getting a degree in design, and then I did a bunch of internships because I graduated like in the post-recession economy and couldn't get a paying, like a decently paying job. And then the last internship I did was at a big design agency in Vancouver, which is where I'm from, and it's where I went to university. That's when I started working in agencies, and I kind of loved it and have been doing it ever since. Kind of in Vancouver, Toronto, in the US, and now in the UK. And now on my own.
So when you went from Vancouver to the US, was that, or yeah, that was right. Yeah, you went to Vancouver to the US, or was it the US to Vancouver for work?
It's a bit complicated because kind of in my early 20s, like post graduation, I don't know, I was a bit of a slacker probably. Like the thing about design is like you can do it freelance quite easily, and you can do contracts and kind of hop around from agency to agency. So what I ended up doing, which I now realize is like a very ADHD thing to do, is like I take a job for a few months and then I like go somewhere and not work for a while. And then so I kind of hopped around from place to place, because I went to uni in the US for one of the years of my uni, and so I sort of like made some connection there and worked with people I knew there, and I just kind of hopped around. And then about 6 years ago I moved to London for many reasons, but mostly because I just kind of felt like, you know, it's one of the major design cities in the world, And I've been working from here ever since.
I'll keep my opinions about London to myself. No, I really like London if I'm on my own.
Never heard a Scottish person say that in my life.
If I'm on my own, it's fine because I get stressed if I'm with people who are more kind of, how do I explain it? Less observant.
Mm-hmm.
So I am both the most observant person and the least observant person in the world. So if I'm by myself, it's fine because I only have to focus on me. And so I'm constantly like just watching people and looking about, and there's so many people to look at in London. It's insane. But as soon as I'm with someone else, I kind of like get paranoid about them, and I'm like, are you okay? Okay. And then I do like stupid stuff and get lost. But one of my favorite things is up here, it's kind of standard. If you get a bus, you say thanks to the driver when you get off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just going to walk off and go, cheers, and then that's it. I did it in London, and the looks I got, it was like I just asked a woman, can I kick your baby? Is that okay? And, like, what? And my friend that I was with that lives down there, and she was like, why did you say thanks? And I was like, because he took me somewhere. Like, it's just like a generic kind of thanks. So that's weird. And I'm like, it's weird that it's weird to you. It's that's more odd. It's more of a, and instead of you going, oh, I've never thought I'd say thank you to a bus driver, you're like, it's weird that you're saying thank you, like it's a machine that drives on its own. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked by
No, I know what you mean though, because okay, like I'm obviously not from London, and that there are many like small cultural details like that especially when I first moved here.
And they don't say sorry.
Would annoy me. Yeah, they don't say sorry. See, I feel like Canada is, I think because there's so many like Scottish immigrants, like everyone in Canada has like Scottish last names. Like it's a big thing. I think a lot of our like culture is kind of like Scottish. So yeah, we would say thank you to the bus driver. And we obviously are well known for saying sorry for everything. Like I say sorry when someone bumps into me. Like that would be normal back home. But I will say that after, and I this actually like saddens me, but after having lived in London for 6 years, I honestly feel like I am like a meaner like person for it. Because when I go back home and like so the other thing in London is when you're on like the tube, if you like look at someone like in the eye, like directly in the eyes, that's weird. If you talk to someone, that's like, you're crazy. Like nobody would ever do that. But back home, people do it all the time. People just get into chats like on the street. That doesn't happen in London ever. And now that I've lived here for 6 years, if it happens to me, I get freaked out, because the only reason it does happen in London, because everybody knows you're not meant to do it, is if someone's actually crazy or trying to get something from you. So when I go back home and people start talking to me, I have the like London reaction of like, oh, what's happening? So yeah, that saddens me a little bit, but that's the way it is, I guess.
People say that we're impatient. We are not impatient. If you want to see impatience, go and stand in a tube when the next train is in 2 minutes. And someone's missed it. It's amazing. Like the rage that you see on people, like, oh, I can't believe I've just missed that thing.
Like,
it says 2 minutes. Like the next one's in 2 minutes. It's ridiculous. Imagine waiting another 2 minutes. 2 minutes. It's literally like, it is a great system. Whenever I've used it, I know there's issues when it gets like closed and stuff. I'm going to end up getting like loads of people in London in my DMs being like, London, but no, like
it's good. It is good though. Like it's good
everywhere. Like public transport outside of Edinburgh is shocking in Scotland. But it's just don't know how good they've got it. But anyway, so I totally forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. With the, so you're now a self-employed freelance, that's the word. Freelance web designer based in London, which technically you could be based anywhere. How do you handle the kind of keeping yourself tasked? Like my dad's self-employed, and it's the main reason I've never wanted to be self-employed is because oh, but you have, like, how do you know when to work? Not like, I'm very much I work 9 to 5 and it's great.
Yeah.
Which sounds horrible, but I enjoy it because I know between 9 and 5 that is my work.
Yeah.
When do you switch off and when do you switch on? It's surely there's like massive gaps of like hyper focus switched with no energy to do anything.
Yeah. To be honest, like that has been, that's probably been the hardest part of it for me because, I'll quickly just like go over the series of events that includes me leaving my job, like my old full-time job, and me getting diagnosed with ADHD, because basically in December-ish of 2019, that's when I decided to leave my full-time job, and then I kind of like worked out my notice, which was quite long, and then I was finally freelance in sort of the end of February of 2020, so 2 weeks before lockdown, and then ADHD diagnosis. I pretty much figured out I had ADHD in around Christmas 2019 when I talked to my my brother, and he kind of had gotten a diagnosis and explained to me like what ADHD actually is, because it turns out it's not just like hyper kids acting up in school, which is what I literally thought it was, and so he explained it and I was like, oh my god, that's literally me. And so I did a bunch of reading on it. I was like, yeah, that's literally me. But then I never like got a diagnosis, because I was like, I'm in a really good place. I don't really need like help in my life. And then I went freelance, the pandemic happened. It was the first like couple months were very like fraught with like a bunch of work that I had lined up got canceled, and it was a very like scary moment. And the work that I could get, I was having like, I couldn't focus on it for many reasons. Obviously pandemic, big one, but also
give me an age.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, I realized that everything that I used to be productive, like kind of didn't exist anymore. Like I was like, oh my God. So that's when I sought out getting like a proper, I don't mean proper, like you can self-diagnose. I don't mean proper. Getting a diagnosis, because I wanted to like get treatment and get some actual help because I was really struggling. So that was the sort of sequence of events. And since then, I have been working on like refining those things. And a lot of it's gotten better with just like with like the stress of the pandemic is kind of less now because we're all kind of used to it. Work
has
been really, really busy. Like, but then, yeah, managing like the little things, like when to work, how to manage energy. Like a lot of what I post on Twitter, for example, is about these things because it is a struggle. But like, luckily for me, I do really enjoy my work. I literally don't know how someone with ADHD could be self-employed in a job that they hate. I don't know why you would ever do that, but like, I don't know how people do it, because it's actually enjoy my work and I like doing it. And I have like, you know, purpose in my work, right? So that is kind of what I use for motivation, and it mostly works at this point.
I think what you're saying about like why anyone would be self-employed and do something that they don't like, I think a lot of that is more to do with the if you had a client you didn't like, or a client where you'd had a bad experience, and every time, and you had to then start speaking to them on a regular basis, I think that would then have a similar impact to someone who's in a 9-to-5 that they hate.
Yeah, definitely.
And it would just be kind of like, I'm just going to push it down, I'll just push it down, I'll just push it down, and it doesn't help. It just makes things 10 times worse. There's a phrase that one of my old managers used to use. It's like, if you had to eat a toad every day, would you eat it at the start of your day or would you eat it at the end of the day? And I understand the concept. It's basically do the bad thing first, or the thing you don't want to do first, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. Whereas my brain turned it around and went, I would do it at the end of the day because I don't want a bad taste in my mouth all day.
Yeah.
And it was just like going, oh, wait, that works. Doesn't matter. Just do it early. It worked for a point, but yeah. So see, with the, like when you were young, you said like your dad was a computer engineer and things like that, which it, me, because all my family are tradesmen, and it's all sort of, like my dad's now doing his own website, which is quite interesting. When I phone him, he's like, oh, I have a Zoom call tonight to help me with what I'm doing with my website.
Right.
It's quite interesting. But basically in my family, computers didn't exist until like 1995. And so before then, it was just magic. Things just happened and worked. But was like, if you had a dad who was into computer engineering, did he sort of encourage you to kind of go down that route, or was it more of you just saw what he was doing? It was like, that's cool, I want to do that.
Actually, he did computer engineering kind of before I was born, and like, and that's what his like degree is in. Like, he's a really, really smart guy. And he has like a business degree and a math degree and like that kind of vibe, which is not me at
almost
all.
Almost like he can settle on something, so just kept on achieving and then changing and then achieving and then changing.
Yeah, I have theories about my parents and their neurodiverse status, but yeah, I don't really want to get into that. Just because I want to respect their privacy, I guess.
This is your moment, Shannon. This is your moment. Yeah.
but I have my theories about both of them.
That's fair.
But yeah, when I was growing up, he actually took over his parents' family business, which is a shop. And so he was doing that, basically. He's still doing that, actually. So he is into computers, like recreationally. That sounds weird, but he doesn't do it like as part of his job, other than like accounting and things like that.
But that didn't influence your decision to kind of go down this route. It was more
no, because I think not really. I mean, I think he never like discouraged it, and like he like, you know, bought us Corel Paint and Photoshop and stuff, and encouraged like the creativity there. I don't know. I think like design, being a designer is one of those jobs, one of many jobs these days that like older generations, like I think find it hard to like understand, like how is that a job? So I think that's kind of how he views it. And he didn't want me to go to art school because I think he's like very much of the generation, they're like, oh, art school, like you can't make a living as an artist.
Yes, if you're going for a purpose, the title of the course must relate directly to a job.
Yeah, which like weirdly, like of all my, you know, friends from high school, who, like, I was the only one in my high school to go to art school after graduation. And like a lot of my friends who were very creative, like they were doing the yearbook stuff with me, they were in all the classes with me, but they ended up going into like a proper university and doing like degrees in like pharmacy and forestry and nursing and or even, you know, just like English things that like have maybe more respect. Not many of them are actually doing those jobs these days. I think a lot of people like around our age, just because of like the way the economy was upon graduating, like didn't end up ever going into their studied fields, but I did.
I think there's it's a lot to do with the, like you said, like our sort of generation, it was a lot more to do with you went to university because that's what you did.
There was there was no other option.
Yeah, see,
like it wasn't discussed.
Yeah, I spoke about this before. I didn't go to university for a really bad reason. I just didn't want to do a personal statement. I just didn't want to write about myself.
But like a letter to get in.
Yeah, like, you know, the like A4 page that you have to do to say, you should let me in because I'm this and I'm that and I'm this. My teacher said to me, she was like, so what do you need to write your personal statement? And I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. And she was like, that's what you need to do to get to university. And say, yeah, I just don't go. There's nothing I want to do. So I'm good. I'll just go to work. And that was it. And it was like, my friends were stressed. A lot of them were stressed out trying to write like this one piece of paper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, I'm good.
It's like, knew you didn't want to.
Yeah. I ended up, I got into college to do graphic design, and I did graphic design for a while. But I do find that design's an interesting one, because for something that's so creative, it's amazing how many lecturers try to stick you in a box.
Yeah. I could talk for hours on design education, but that's, most people won't be interested in that.
Well, I had one lecturer who was like a fine arts sort of specialty.
Mm.
It's not what she was teaching on, but that's what her background was. And then I had another guy who was basically just an anarchist. And the more mental you went with something, the more he liked it. The more she hated it. And I had more involvement with her than I did him. And one of the things that we had to do was we had to design a CD cover around the theme chaos.
Love it.
Right? So you're talking 2007. This was, that sounds so long ago.
This whole episode is just like us horrendously dating ourselves. Yeah. And making us sound old. Anyway, sorry.
2007 is only 3 years ago, it's fine. So my idea was, I had got a baby, like an image of a baby. I put army paint on it. I put tattoos on it. I put, and I called the album, Mum, Where's My M16? If anything's chaotic, it's that. He went mad for it. Like, he thought that, he was like, this is great.
Mm.
He pulled me up, like literally pulled me up and said, this is not appropriate.
Oh, this is...
You said chaos.
Yeah.
You're like, I've created chaos.
Chaos is inappropriate.
Exactly. But I didn't stick at it because, you know, I have ADHD, and something shiny happened where my work went, we'll give you full-time hours if you want them.
Yeah.
So I went, cool, I'll quit college, and then went to work in a retail store full-time so I could get money to travel, which they didn't give me. I then didn't travel, and I've been out of Scotland like 3 times in the last 10 years. So, you know, it's great. I don't want to go anywhere now. I'm like, no, I'll just do things to my house. I'll buy another monitor. That seems like a good idea. Four isn't enough. But I've lost my entire train of thought going down that little tunnel. Yep, it's totally gone. What we're talking about. We're talking about like so, yeah, your dad never kind of pointed you in that direction. And yeah, you were saying about art school, that was it. How it was more of a find a course that has like a job attached, not.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was, I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, like, I thinking back, like, at this age, find it so weird that I had to make this, like, we have to make that decision of what we're gonna do when you're like 17. because I had no idea what I was doing. Like, actually, it's interesting that you mentioned the personal statement thing, because I never had to write one of those, because, and actually, like, this is probably, like, I don't know, like, I never really thought about doing like a non-art school degree, because there's this thing that happens in Canada and America called National Portfolio Day, and basically what it is a bunch of the basically all of the big like art universities across Canada and the US, they get representatives to like travel around to each school, and they review people who go to the day, so like high school students, they review your portfolio like then and there. And they tell you that you won't get accepted based on this day, but you absolutely like can. It's like everybody knew you could. Like I knew people in my art teacher in high school told me it was hard, it was unlikely but possible. So I went once in grade 11, which is like the second to last year of high school, and showed them, and they're like, yeah, it's great, and they give you some tips and like critique you, which is like heart-wrenching at the time. And then because I went that year, I kind of knew what I should do for my final year when you actually have to apply. So I worked really hard on my portfolio, and this is like October of the last year of high school, so like quite the school up. I worked really hard on it. I presented it, and then yeah, it was the same. They like gave some feedback, and I'm like, yeah, we would encourage you to apply. And I showed it to a bunch of schools there as well. But then, yeah, in I don't know, like January, I think, I don't know, something like that. It was a long time ago. I got a letter, and it was like, congrats, you're accepted, and you get like a big scholarship, and we want you to come. And so I never actually like had to officially apply. And I think if I had had to, I would have been equally as daunted. And I think like my dad, a school guidance counselor, and my teachers like encouraged me to apply to like other universities and other programs, and I just didn't. I just
See,
didn't. It seemed like a lot of work.
that seems really not to diss people who go to art schools and things like that, but there's a big kind of connection with people who are like neurodiverse in the scheme of like say dyslexia or dyscalculia or basically something where you have to put something coherent down on paper to people who are creative and artists and things like that. Like I there's a guy I went to school with and I like I always remember this boy. His name was Aaron. He was sound as anything. And he got a special exam for craft and design because he made a table that I'm pretty sure IKEA picked up. Like,
That's so cool.
it was some like mental thing like that, but he was really, really dyslexic and really struggled with it. But like, an accommodation was made because of this. But that seems like, I mean, don't get me wrong. One day seems like, yeah. Honestly, so right, you're really good with dates, right? You're really good at calendars and being places on time. You have one day, one chance, one opportunity, and now I'm going to go into M&M. No, but That seems like it's a good kind of start, at least, especially since, not to date yourself, but it wasn't last year that this portfolio day was a thing that was kind of going about. It's a good opportunity, but I do have to ask,
I think
because it's
they
going to
still
bug
do
me.
it. Yeah, sorry,
Yeah,
go ahead.
what's your specialty then? Like, going to art school, you kind of have to say, like, I want, like, you'll have something that your portfolio would have been.
Yeah, so I don't know like a huge amount about like the differences in art school, like in the UK versus in Canada and the US. But most of the like major art schools in Canada and the US, they have this foundation year, and they do really, really encourage you to like try a lot of things, which for an ADHD person is like very ideal. And I think I honestly like at the time I somewhat resented it because of things like performance art and some sculptures I made like that were had meat in them, you know, like crazy stuff like that I wasn't super into, just because like I don't know, I knew it wasn't for me. Also I was like a lot more shy back then. But I think my portfolio had mostly like drawing and painting and some of my like design stuff I had done in school, basically. And then you also like can bring sketchbooks and things like that, and they encourage you to talk about process. So they want to see like quite a range of stuff, basically.
See, I don't know a lot about anything, but I know a little bit, a lot, but a lot about nothing. And I know people who went to different sort of design schools. I know people who are web designers, who basically they have a degree in web design, but the reason they picked web design was because they opened up a prospectus at the chosen city they wanted to go to and went, I'll pick this one.
Yeah,
Yep,
for
I have the
sure.
qualifications, that's where I'm going. And that was it. I know people who are games designers, which is a whole different kettle of fish. I know people who are textile designer, textile designers, is that, yeah, and they went with like clothes designs, and this is their portfolio was full of clothes designs.
Yeah.
I should say, I've still got my sketch, doesn't matter, sorry, I just, something popped into my head, but anyway, because I was always into like the advertising side and marketing and things, because there's some, like, as part of my college course we had to get like a selection of basically advertisements and kind of why you like them, and all the ones I looked at were so like sarcastic, and like there's one, I think it was for Samsonite, is it Samsonite, like the suitcase
A
company?
suitcase, yeah.
They're insane, or at least back then they were. Oh, that sounds old. But one of the ones that they had was, some people like a 9-to-5 job. But then again, some people like nipple clamps. It isn't for everyone, but our cases are. And you're like, what? And for anyone outside the UK, who hasn't had Iron Brew,
Oh,
that
God.
Iron Brew adverts get banned in England really quickly, when they come out, because they have ones that are just, they had one where it was the Disney characters, and it's a guy, like, not actual character, like, famous ones, just like Disney type drawing of a deer and like a cow, and the guy's like walking down the street and just dancing down the street, and then he opens a door and all these animals like dance inside, and then he puts his hat on, and then like his shop, like a shutter thing, like goes up, and it's the butcher's,
Oh my gosh.
and it's like Iron Brew, it'll get you through, and it's like, oh, they're so good and so terrible, and I love them. But if anybody wants a good laugh, go and check out Iron Brew adverts on YouTube, because it,
I
you'll
don't even
see.
know if I've seen that. I'm gonna have to give it a Google.
Yeah, it probably wasn't even down there, that's the thing. But there was like the granny who robs a shop. Like, she goes in with like That
Have
one got
seen that. I
banned.
know what you're talking about. Yes, I've heard of
That
that.
one
Yeah.
was like, she's on like a little like motorized scooter thing. She's got her hat on. She goes into the shop, turns a corner and pulls it down. It's a
She like pulls it
balaclava and she just rams into like a massive like pile of Iron Brew and goes out the
That's
shop.
so good. It's
It's,
so
oh,
good.
they're
I need
so good.
business. Yeah, I love that. I worked a bunch in ad agencies when in like the early part of my career, because in Canada a lot of design, because it's small. Canada's small. It's a big country, but there's not many people is what it is.
Yeah, but
So there's not many design agencies. So most design agencies are also advertising agencies. So I've worked on advertising quite a bit, although now that's not my focus, like at
Yeah.
all.
So we've kind of talked about like your path and like kind of how you got there and things. So see, when you were younger, what was sort of your perception of success? Like, was there something that you went by time? I'm 30, I want to be to be classed as successful. Or was it just I want to be like no one else?
That's a good question. I don't know that I like really had like much of an idea of like success. I don't know if this is like related to ADHD, but I feel like I couldn't really see very far in the future. I
I
don't
hate
know.
it. If someone
Yeah.
says to me, let's do something next week,
Yeah.
it'll get to next week. And in my head, it's still next week.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I made plans for something for 2 weeks from now today, and and usually I make it a week in advance, and I know I'm gonna forget about it, even though I put it in my
Yeah,
calendar. But anyway,
100%.
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know if I had like what I mean when I was like in school, like when I was a kid or even in high school. Like I don't think I really one, I feel like I didn't have a lot of like perspective, like outside of Vancouver and outside of school and getting good grades and things like that. I don't think I really like knew much about the world. And then two, I think like I don't think I could see Iron Brew. I don't think I could see that far in the future is how I feel. But I think maybe I had like a stereotypical idea of like a house and a car and kids and I don't know that
The
stereotypical idea
standard
maybe.
sort of, I'm not aiming for it, but that seems to be what people want.
Think I don't know, like I said earlier, like it was kind of assumed like in the neighborhood I grew up in and the school I went to, it was kind of like assumed you would go to university. Like in Canada most people go to university. It's a highly like overeducated country for the amount of actual like knowledge economy jobs there are in Canada. There are very many people who are overeducated in Canada, but it was always assumed they're going to university. And I think also in my head, it was always just like assumed that I'd be, I don't know, I guess like middle class. I don't know, like somewhat okay. I don't know. I didn't really like, I
You'll
didn't
do
think I
well.
could go
You'll be
beyond
comfortable.
that. I didn't think I'd go beyond that. I didn't think I'd go below that. You know, I was just kind of assumed that would be what it was. I never really
Yeah.
thought.
Like you were given all the right tools basically to not be a concern. And then you ruined all your parents' expectations by going to art school. And it's like, oh no, now she's going to be unemployed. No.
I mean, they definitely thought that. They definitely thought that. But then also like also I don't know, like I like Vancouver and like the west coast of Canada and the US is like very like left wing and liberal and you know environmentalism and invest like being countercultural is like mainstream culture there. So and like even like my mom was like really like in Greenpeace in the 70s. Like so I didn't I don't know, I didn't I don't know, like I didn't think, oh, a house, car, and 2 kids, and I'm going to be happy. I thought, oh, that's just kind of the way things are, I guess. I wasn't like aiming for it. And I knew
But
like
you didn't
I
know there was
didn't.
other roads off it.
Exactly. So I knew, like, I mean, obviously as I got older, I started to like, figure things out. But I think even when I first went to when I first went to uni, that's when you start to like kind of look outside of your little bubble again. I think that to me is like the best part of uni, even though I went in like my hometown. I think it encourages you to like look outside of yourself and like question a lot of like stuff around you.
Like your mindset, like you grow up with your parents' expectations and perspectives because that's what you see on a daily basis. And then you come out of that bubble and you're like, oh, there are other options or other things you can do. I didn't realize that this was a thing that people did.
And I guess I don't know. I feel like I'm like telling this badly because it maybe is making it seem like I'm like more of a conservative person than I am. But like, I guess like it's hard to explain, but I don't know. I don't think I thought about success a lot. Like I don't know. I was into
To be
like,
fair, it doesn't sound
punk rock
conservative.
and like
It doesn't
stuff
sound
like
conservative.
that.
It sounds really kind of liberal. Like you're very, it sounds very much like a, like I think a conservative point of view would be much more concerned and worried about it. Whereas the more liberal side of view is very much more of a, it'll be fine. And I think, like, I understand why you would maybe be like, oh, wait, I'm maybe coming across kind of, but genuinely, and to me, it would sound more the other side of the fence.
I think if anything, I think, and this is, I mean, I was probably naive and I was probably like, sheltered. I didn't have like a super hard upbringing. I like didn't have to, look outside of myself that much. And when you're like a teenager, you don't. But it's like, experiences like as an adult have obviously made me more aware of like the way the world actually is and made me realize I have
Especially
to
in
like figure
London.
out my own way.
Especially in London where everyone's miserable and
So
just
rude.
angry. So, do you think your ADHD's like helped or hindered you then?
I think both. I think both. I think it yeah, it's hard. It's hard. I can't imagine like not having it. And I
Must be
wouldn't.
boring.
This is it. I don't think I obviously ADHD, it is like it does cause problems. I'm not gonna deny it
No.
caused problems in my life and in many other people's lives. But also it is, and I tell people this all the time, like it is a massive benefit when you work in the creative industry. And I think the creative industry is an amazing place for people with ADHD and like younger people with ADHD to get into, because I think like from the point you like even going to art school and like finding a creative career and like it's not like questioned all the time. Like I feel like in high school and like I don't know, I didn't fit in at all. But as soon as I found like creative people, it's like, oh yeah, you're a bit quirky, but so is everyone else. And it's kind of like seen as a, I don't know, it's weird, it's hard to explain, but like when you work
It's the
in,
norm.
but also this is kind of a thing when you're a designer, is that because your clients are often not creative people. Like that's why they hire you. They're like business people or people with other things they're
It's the
amazing at.
balance.
And but they it's like a bit of a like a meme in the design community that you have to kind of like dress slightly creatively, and like you're kind of expected to be a bit like weird and loud and have a bit of quirkiness. So it's not only like accepted, it's like expected. So in that way, I feel like it's been a huge benefit, like in my career.
Yeah.
And I think ADHD does really, really allow us to be more creative because we think a million minds a minute, outside the box. We don't care about rules. And that is a huge benefit because getting over rules is like a massive thing. It's hard to do for most people. Even people with ADHD, it's hard to do because you just like internalize it, right? You don't think about it. You learn stuff as you're growing up, and then getting outside of that, which is like the main part of creativity, I would say, it's harder to access for people without ADHD. So I think in that way, it's been very, very helpful. But in other ways, it's been a massive hindrance in that, like I said earlier, like my early 20s were spent like basically like bumming around, not really like having much focus or goals or I don't know, I just kind of relied on my like my charm and my talents to get by, and I didn't even know what I was doing when I was doing that. But now I have like grown older, and I've gotten like a little bit more focused on long-term things, and as you do when you get older, I realized like, oh my god, that's like a massive part of my ADHD symptoms that I just kind of didn't realize was happening because I wasn't diagnosed. And obviously there's like the day-to-day stuff as well, like managing time and managing energy and like being productive.
I don't normally do this, but because you are kind of, there'll be a lot of people who'll be in a very similar, not position necessarily, but there'll be people who are maybe where you've been. Would you, and I know your Twitter, which you do you want to say what your Twitter is just now, just for anyone who wants it and isn't already following it?
Yeah. I just am ADHD designer, all one word on Twitter. So yeah, if anyone wants to get in touch, you can find me there.
And it's two D's. So it's the ADHD and then a D for designer, not the last D.
Yeah. It's like ADHD, D, designer, like that.
There we go. Yeah. So yeah, you do have you put a lot of tips and things up, but is there anything specifically that does help you with kind of organizing? And I'm not saying this from an entirely selfish point of view of someone who has 1,000 spreadsheets and calendars, and the other day realized he had 4 different calendars going on.
Okay, so the thing that I would say to that is one of the things that's been like most helpful for me, which I learned with the help of some ADHD coaching I did for the past few months, is that having like 4 different calendars is totally okay and like kind of normal when you have ADHD.
So long to remember that you have them.
Yeah. I think, yeah. So the thing is, like, I used to get really upset with myself because I would not be able to stick to like bullet journaling for more than a couple days, and then I would like give up on organizing things entirely because I was a failure and I couldn't organize to save my life, and I would like tell myself that. Now I realize, okay, like the past like 10 years or whatever of adulthood is like where I've tried a million things and they work for a little bit and then they don't. Like, actually that is really valuable now because I have this kind of like toolkit of things I can use that will work for a while and then they don't, and then instead of getting upset with myself, I just move on to another thing that feels right at the time. I have like one consistent tool that I use and I've been using for like a few years, and that is the Things 3 app. Highly recommend that because it makes dumping tasks and to-dos and stuff you don't want to forget like very, very quick, like, and effortless. So I literally have just, I always dump everything that's in my brain in there. And if I forget to put it in there, I will forget about it. Like, I have like, I'll check it like every day And there'll usually be something on there that I've forgotten about, like completely. So that's the one thing that really keeps me on track. But other than that, I use many systems.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Well, thank you very much for your time, Shannon. That was great. It's amazing, like the people that you actually meet just on Twitter. And I'm not going to lie, I think I've spoken to people on Twitter more than I've spoken to my actual friends and family in the last year.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I don't like a lot of my friends or family. No, that's a joke. I yeah. recently found out that my mum is listening to the podcasts.
Oh, hi.
So now I have to say nice things about my mum. And if I can't think of any, we'll just say goodbye. No. Mom, stop now. No. But yeah, it's... I just thank you very much for your time. It's been good chatting to you.
Yeah, always good chat with you. Thank you so much for asking me to do this.
No worries. Thank you. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Teemo, the award-winning visual planning app that supports routines and time management. Teemo was designed specifically to support executive function and empowers users to take control of their schedules. Head to your app store and type T-I-I-M-O into the search bar to learn more. Teemo is available on Android, iOS, and smartwatch.